If you're going to fail, fail at doing what you love to do, because the chances of you failing already, they're high. Hmm. So you might as well fail and enjoy what you're doing while you fail.
Hmm.
So I think that we should be ourselves and just go fail. On tangents.
We should be ourselves.
No, don't fail. It started out so motivational, and it just nosedived really fast.
From St. Joseph, Missouri, here is Travis Lee Hartman.
Okay.
So, listen, if you're going to fail, you might as well fail big. Okay?
Okay.
That's our goal.
Is it to fail big?
We're going
to
fail big because after failure becomes success.
Okay. I don't have anything motivational off of failing big. Usually you don't see that on the poster, that the goal here today, folks, is to fail big.
And fail even bigger.
But I can see your point.
And bigger. Because it will lead to something.
Yeah.
Because everybody always talks about all this stuff. They're like, you don't have to succeed in every single thing that you do in your life.
No, of course not.
So there's only a couple things you have to really hit home runs with. Otherwise, I'm going to hit a bunch of singles. I'm going to bunt it.
Singles and doubles.
Singles and doubles all day. And then one time, I'll hit a home run.
Yeah, okay.
And then one time,
but
I'll hit a grand slam.
I'm very confused now. See, we haven't even really officially started the episode, but I think we already have, right?
This is perfect, though.
So this, oh, I know. This
is our tangent right here.
This is the tangent to even, we haven't even opened. Mm-hmm. So Wayne in with Travis Hartman, here we are. Episode 23, here we are. We're talking about failing big.
It's true, though.
You know, so that's us. So that over there is Weekend Trav. I'm Brandon Waters, B-Money, the producer. Thank you for joining us. If you have yet to subscribe, please do so on YouTube, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts, we are there. And then obviously YouTube is a big one if you want to see our bright, shiny faces. Well, that maybe depends how shiny it is. Depends on the lighting, I guess. So anyways, Weekend Trav, hi.
What's up, brother? What's up, B-Money?
Ready to fail big today?
I'm ready to fail big.
Good.
I think we've been failing big. So
I think so.
The next thing that's going to happen is we're going to succeed. But I don't think success comes without failure.
No, of course not. No.
I think that's been the
whole completely agree point. With that. You need to... too many people are apprehensive and they don't try anything. And that's why they may never fail, but they also never truly... I don't want to say succeed, but they never truly get to where they could be. They don't... I don't know. They don't experience their whole true self.
Listen, I'm not trying to tell people to fail and fail and fail. That's not the point. But it's the process that you have to get to, because failure ultimately will lead to success.
Correct.
But don't be afraid to fail. That's the
better.
Issue.
I think that's better than failing.
That's the issue. Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid to fail.
To fail.
Not fail big. That's not a good slogan. It's,
I know.
Don't be afraid to fail.
It's not, but it goes with the whole process, and you should listen to our entirety of our conversation, and you'll see that I didn't mean just fail. And then fail, and then fail. I mean, don't be afraid to fail.
No.
Therefore, you are gonna fail.
Yeah.
So fail.
What we deem in our culture as a successful person, their road to success is littered with failures all over the place.
It is.
Hurdles, potholes, everything on their journey to success. What we would consider success. Now, what's interesting about successful people, quote unquote, is that they never are satisfied either. They continue to push forth. They're not content. And so they continue to strive towards something even greater, which is amazing. We're already doing the middle of the show here. This is usually a tangent. We haven't even talked about boxing. That was the first time a boxing word was mentioned, was right when I said boxing.
Yeah, but if you want to think about it, boxing is the same way, though. So
Yep. It's
like dare to be great.
So let's talk about somebody that wasn't afraid to fail against Danny Garcia. Errol Spence Jr. coming back from the big car accident 14 months ago. A lot of question marks with regard to maybe ring rust. Was he ready for such steep competition? You know, both guys had tremendous records. Obviously, Errol Spence was perfect, but they both had 21 KOs. This was a highly touted bout and one that raised eyebrows. Why would Errol Spence take this rather than a tune-up fight, something along those lines? So let's jump into that. Let's give this fight the credit it's due. Weekend Trav, I'm going to toss the ball over to you. You run with it. Give us the rundown of the fight on Saturday, and we'll go from there.
What am I, a dog? You throwing a ball and I'm running to the ball and fetching it and getting back?
I was thinking more that you're Aaron Jones with the Packers and I'm pitching the ball to you.
Oh my goodness. You know what? Go Pack Go, because I want them to beat the Eagles. But
so
I
far they are,
don't.
But who knows? They could easily blow it too on the second half.
So the fight over the weekend was, it was a pay-per-view fight on Fox. It was Errol Spence, who was 26-0, versus Danny Garcia, who I believe is like 36-2. He's only lost to Keith Thurman and Sean Porter, who Sean Porter also fought Errol Spence and lost a very competitive decision. However, B-Money, this fight, ironically enough, turned out exactly how I thought it would turn out if I made this prediction over a year ago, before Errol Spence got in his accident. So, if you guys have been listening to us up to the show, I was very apprehensive to give my prediction of who would win the fight, because it was very difficult, because Errol Spence, like I said it on the other shows too, you Google him, you will see that that car wreck that he got in on his Ferrari, he got in a massive, could have been fatal car accident. The guy was really, really debilitated, and he was in the hospital, and broken teeth, everything. Had a lot of internal bleeding, I heard. So a lot of bad stuff. And this was his first fight back. He got in that wreck last October, and for him to take on Danny Garcia was phenomenal. So fast forward to last night, which would have been Saturday, December 5th. What a fight, though. What, like, Errol Spence, to me, even minus the car accident, let's just say that he was out of boxing for 14 months. He looked phenomenal.
Sure.
Regardless. So not only was he out of boxing for 14 months, he's coming off of that huge car wreck. So, I mean, I think if you're Errol Spence and Errol Spence's camp, his promoter, all of them, you have to be very, very happy with how he performed, because he looked like the Errol Spence that we saw last. And that was very good, because he's undefeated. He's 26-0. Now he's 27-0 because he beat Danny Garcia like I predicted. I predicted he would. But to be completely honest, I made that prediction in my mind literally about 20 minutes before I recorded that video and put it on our YouTube channel, Weighing In with Travis Hartman. That's how, like, it wasn't that I thought Danny Garcia was going to win for sure, but there was just too many question marks.
Sure.
I try to make the best possible prediction I can. I'm really been really positive at it, other than Lomachenko getting upset by Lopez. Other than that, I've been pretty spot on.
Yep.
So I wanted to make sure that I was on again. I made sure I checked all the boxes. I made sure I looked at everything. And finally, I said Errol Spence would win. And he ended up winning a 12-round unanimous decision. So you thought it was a boring fight. I thought it was an okay fight.
It's boring in the sense that I don't know if I would have wanted to pay money for that. Now, in months past, if there was no car accident, if this was something that was just happening a year ago, yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the fight you want to see.
Yeah.
Last episode 22, I asked you a couple of questions. I asked you, well, tell me, you know, why, I think I did this, why Spence wins, why Garcia wins. Mm-hmm. Maybe I didn't. But you had mentioned one of these things, one of the reasons for Errol Spence was maybe they just know something that we don't know about Danny Garcia, or maybe they just know something heading in. And I think that question was kind of answered, is that they knew Errol Spence was primed, ready to go. There was no rust.
Yep.
There was no rust. He looked good. I mean, and maybe you saw something from the fighter's point of view. I'm not a fighter, but he looked smooth. He looked good. The jab was obviously working. That's where a lot of his
I mean, we're in a boxing gym right now.
Yeah.
TH boxing facility. You want me to show you? I can show you, so, I think, what Errol Spence...
Is this the time where I get up?
We get up, and I'm going to show you. If you guys remember anything about, like, ESPN, those Friday night fights, Teddy Atlas used to do stuff like this all the time. I want to show Brandon what I thought Errol Spence did well, and it was his jab. All right, B-Money. I'm going to be Errol Spence, who is a lefty. B-Money is going to be Danny Garcia.
Which is weird, because I'm the lefty, usually.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
So, But Errol Spence, how he won that fight is how I teach my fighters as well, is a jab.
Yep.
If you have a great jab, you will literally beat 90% of people in the world. And Errol Spence constantly was doing this.
Yep.
Constantly.
Yep.
And what does that do? It blinds the guy. And then Errol Spence was going down low, coming back up. Because if you were to watch, Danny Garcia's left eye was puffy. Why? Jabs.
Yep.
Jabs. Jabs. That's why it might have been a boring fight.
A
lot of jabs.
But it also threw Danny Garcia off, because he likes to counter. Like, this is the counter. So if you're jabbing me the whole time, I'm backpedaling. I'm not protecting this eye because it's swelling up. And if you're coming in the body, I don't have a lot to come at you with.
You're exactly right, 100%. When you put a counter puncher on the defensive the entire time,
He's not countering because he's right. Thinking over here. Instead of slipping and moving right. And countering off of that,
so he's
just
in here,
confused.
He's starting to protect his eye more. And then obviously if he's going to the body, he's trying to cover that up too.
And they don't
even know where to come around.
Errol Spence can punch.
Yeah.
So even though his jabs, they didn't look, they were hard. His eye was swollen. And early, like 2-3 rounds, it was swollen. So he was constantly touching, boom. And if you listen to the post-fight press conference, Errol Spence even referenced it, and so did Danny Garcia's dad. And it was the jab. The jab kept Danny Garcia off balance. So if you're a fighter, you got to know that jab, started with the jab. The jab will win fights. The jab keeps it out of balance. The guy keeps him confused, and he allows you to set up other things. So, work the jab, guys.
That's going to be the most editing you ever see in this video, whenever we do a video on YouTube. But what we just did there,
that was good.
We had a little cutout segment.
I like it.
We were showing a little bit of what Errol Spence was doing. And Travis played the role of the lefty, which is usually me, because that's how I fight.
But I wanted to play the role of the winner because
that's
I
a good point. That's a good point. That's a good point. Well, you know, it's it was good to see him back, good mm-hmm. to see him do his thing, and now leading up to what should be the next fight.
Well, we should talk about that because I want to talk about that, and you're talking about Terrence Crawford.
I think
correct?
We should be talking about that because yep. that needs to be what's up. Here's my issue when it comes to Terrence Crawford. It's not Terrence Crawford. Mm-hmm. It's the promotion.
Well, listen, I'm glad you said that because something happened on the night of the fights. Mm-hmm. They showed a cutaway, and they were talking about the welterweight division.
Name wasn't even
and
on
the
there.
Best. Okay, blew my mind,
yeah.
And I'm like, I hope to God that Bob Arum was calling Fox. Calling CBS and telling them, what the heck are you doing? How do you not mention Terrence Crawford's name? I think the top welterweights they had was Manny Pacquiao, Errol Spence, Keith Thurman. I forget who the other one was, but they didn't mention Terrence Crawford. Not one time in that
I guarantee
beginning. But I guarantee you somebody ripped him because later on, towards the very end of the night, they threw Terrence Crawford and they start talking about Terrence Crawford. Somebody ripped him because I was tweeting, everybody was tweeting, it had to be trending.
I can almost tell you that Bob Arum didn't do it. Maybe some of his people did. That joker doesn't even promote his own fighter. He's gone on record to state. That's up to him.
Yeah. He literally has one of not only one of the best welterweights in the world, he's got one of the best fighters in the world, pound for pound. I don't care who you are, you have Terrence Crawford in your top five.
Yeah.
I have him at number one. But most people have him in top three. So for Terrence Crawford to be – and that's the pound-for-pound rankings for all the people listening. Pound-for-pound rankings, they don't matter what belt you have. It doesn't matter who your promoter is. Pound-for-pound rankings are based on who you are as a fighter.
Yeah.
So pound-for-pound is very unbiased. Pound-for-pound is talking about the person who they think, no matter what weight that person is, they would be the best in their division. That's Terrence Crawford. So the fact that Fox – even went along with this charade of not putting that on, it kind of upsets me because there were graphics, okay,
yeah.
for TV, they had that. That was pre-ordered pretty much, meaning they knew who they were going to put on those graphics. They had pictures, they had the records, all that. They did that on purpose.
Yeah.
And that really upset me because at the end of the day, it shouldn't be about all this business, all this promotion. It should be about who is the best. And that's why I like Errol Spence and I like Terrence Crawford because both of those two guys, they'll fight the best. They want to fight the best. That's how it should be. Those two guys literally, if you know them and know their attitudes and know their competitive nature, you know for a fact they want to fight the best. And so far, I'll be honest though, I think Errol Spence's resume, up to date, it is a little bit better than Crawford's.
I think so.
But as a fighter myself, and I've been in the ring with Terrence Crawford, I see a different Terrence Crawford than most people see. And that's how I think that he's the number one pound for pound best in the world. Because not of his resume, but it's the people that he's fought and how he's beaten them and the ways that he's beaten them. That's why most people put him at their number one pound for pound. You're not going to find too many people that have Terrence Crawford outside of the top three pound for pound. You're not going to find very many experts. Most of them have him at one even.
Yeah.
So he's there. He's good. Is his resume, like I said, I'll be honest, is his resume as good as Errol Spence's? I don't think so. I don't think that Terrence Crawford has had the chance to be in the ring with greats. Not that Errol Spence has been in the ring with any greats, so to speak, but he's been in the ring with some very elite, great, good fighters. I mean, Sean Porter, That guy's a beast. He is a beast. He probably will be a Hall of Famer. His only losses are to guys like that. Very, very elite guys. So, but Errol Spence hasn't fought any greats either. So what that means is let's let Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford fight so we can settle it all, because I don't care what your resume was before that. It's only going to matter after that.
Right.
So when Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence meet, nobody's going to care what the resume is before that. They're only going to care after that point.
Yeah.
Because they think those two, it's not even deniable. Those two are the best welterweights in the world, period. In my opinion, and a lot of people's opinion, two best welterweights in the world, Terrence Crawford, Errol Spence. Should they fight? Yes. Will they fight? I don't think they're going to fight until the end of 2021 because of Terrence Crawford's contractual agreement with Bob Arum and Top Rank. It ends, I believe, in like September or October maybe. It's towards the end of 2021. So I think the only chance that Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford fight is if Terrence Crawford leaves Bob Arum. Because Bob Arum and Al Haymon, which is who promotes Errol Spence, they don't deal with each other too much.
Yeah.
They have before, but not too much. So yeah. Here's my prediction, though. I think Errol Spence will fight Manny Pacquiao. I think he's going to steal that fight from Terrence Crawford, even though Terrence Crawford deserves that fight, I think. Mm-hmm. But I think Errol Spence is going to fight Manny Pacquiao, beat Manny Pacquiao, and then fight Terrence Crawford at the end of the year in 2021.
Yeah, and I think I'll add to your prediction, and I've been thinking this for several months now. I think Terrence Crawford's out. He's no longer with Arum. I think once that contract is up in, what, September?
Yep. I can't remember the exact, September, October, it's end of, yeah. Towards the end of 2021.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it gets to a certain point, and yes, I know that from a promoting standpoint, the marketing standpoint, part of it, yes, is on the fighter and his crew, but come on, it's just disrespectful at a certain level.
At a Very certain point, yes. At this point right now, when you have, if a guy's like 20-0, hasn't really done much, even if he's a world champion at 20-0, but hasn't really done much, you can't blame the promoter too much because the promoter's like, dude, you got to market yourself better. Terrence Crawford's like 30-something and 0. Pound for pound. Recognized in the world, pound for pound the best. You cannot tell me as his promoter that you're putting all the blame on him.
Right.
Put him in positions to succeed, okay? He's done everything in the ring. And the crazy thing is for me is, Terrence Crawford's not a boring guy. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's watch him, follow him on Instagram. The dude is very intriguing. The dude is very competitive.
Yep.
The guy is he needs to be put in front of a camera. He needs to be put in positions to where people know who he is. And in my opinion, that comes from the promoter.
Yeah.
The promoter needs to be putting him in places to where more people can see him because he is a hit. He's not a boring guy.
Yeah.
I can see if he was a boring guy. To be honest, Errol Spence. Boring guy. You ever talk to the guy? You ever see the guy speak? He's boring. Yeah. I'm sorry. Errol is a phenomenal talent. And the only reason Errol really caught headlines, he wrecked his Ferrari. Okay? But honest to God, Errol's a great guy. He's a good old boy. But he's boring. You don't see this guy on social media. You don't see this guy doing much at all. And you hear him talk. He's a very slow talker, very methodical, but very slow talker. He's not exciting. You hear Terrence Crawford? That dude can talk trash with the best of them. Mm-hmm. That dude can win at anything he does. He's exciting. But Brandon, who's more popular right now? Errol Spence. Do you know who sells more pay-per-view sales than Terrence Crawford? Errol Spence, by almost double. So what's the difference here? Both of them are good, and I think Terrence Crawford is even better. But who's Terrence Crawford's promoter? Bob Arum. Mm-hmm. Instead of taking blame yourself as a promoter and – in the name of what you do is called promoting.
Yeah. No, they'll never take the blame. It's the arrogance and the ego there. So him and his team will never take the blame for that on the promoting side. So it's just been, he's been handled in such a lazy fashion, and it's disrespectful at this level now for Terrence Crawford. It's disrespectful. I think he walks out the door, contract's up, he's done. From there, who knows? But you're probably right that fight happens at the end of the year. Plus, there's a lot coming in 2021 with other weight classes, things along those lines. So we've talked about it weeks ago. You can't saturate stuff all at once. Like the first 6 months of the year, I think, is almost mapped out between heavyweights and whatnot. There's this other stuff coming. So yeah. I don't know. Anything further we want to talk about with regard to Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence?
I think the only disrespect – I don't think – The only disrespectful thing that Bob Arum has done was not it wasn't even just that he hasn't promoted him correctly, because it's easy for us to sit back and say that because we don't know what's going on the inside.
That's what we're supposed to do on the seat.
Yeah, but however, it's disrespectful what Bob Arum said. Yeah. Bob Arum was like, you need to promote yourself better. You need to be out there more. You need to do this. I'm like, this guy, I'm speaking, I'll put my fighter's hat on right now, as a professional boxer for 16 years, he does his job in the ring. Yeah. Terrence Crawford doesn't have time to worry about all the other business aspect, all of the interviews, all of the TV shows, all of everything else. That is what your promoter does, because you are busy perfecting your craft.
But also, okay, so Bob Arum and all that group should be doing that more. But Terrence Crawford, his crew, should also be setting some of that stuff up for him
as well. If you watch his Instagram and stuff, he's very active. But he doesn't have people putting him in places to where there's lots of people viewing it. He is getting bigger, but he's not where he needs to be.
As we talk it out a little bit, I think the ball's been dropped on both sides quite a bit with that.
I think
You know what's happening? Everyone is leaving money on the table. Everybody.
But the famous thing, like I've mentioned many episodes, is Bob Arum has promoted literally some of the best, not some of, almost all of the best boxers in the world from the 60s and on, right? Mm-hmm. He's been with Ali, he's been with Lynn, he's been with everybody. Floyd Mayweather, Bob Arum promoted. But do you know when all, Oscar De La Hoya as well, do you know when all of those guys finally became great?
When they left him.
When they left him. Yeah. So that's why me, more so than anything, yes, a lot of onus, because I'm a promoter as well, a lot of onus does go on the fighter, because the fighter needs to be able to sell yourself in life, not boxing, in life, sell yourself. You have to sell yourself as best as you can. It's nobody else's problem. It's nobody else's onus to do that. However, I do believe that Terrence Crawford has sold himself as best as he possibly could in this day and age, because he's all over social media. Sure. He really is. So now I'm looking at the other thing, which is his promoter, who Terrence Crawford hired and signed with to promote him.
Yeah.
And now all I see is, I don't see Terrence Crawford making any excuses. He's like, I fight, I do my thing. He's not even blaming Bob Arum. Bob Arum was the first guy that came out and said, well, he needs to promote himself better. I never one time heard Terrence Crawford come out and say, Bob Arum is not promoting me well. He didn't. None of the interviews, nothing. The only time I ever heard Terrence Crawford address that issue was when Bob Arum came out in an interview and said he needs to promote himself better. So to me, I'm just like, Terrence Crawford, I think, is taking on that responsibility, and I don't think Bob Arum is. I think Bob Arum, at the end of the day, he's an old promoter who's seen a lot, and he's responsible for a lot of great fighters. He is. No, I'm not taking any credit from that. But he doesn't care. And that's, if you're Terrence Crawford's people, Bob Arum's filthy rich. At the end of the day, if he loses you, he doesn't care, right? Because he's got others in line.
Because who else is in that stable over there?
He's got a ton.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't have Manny Pacquiao anymore, but he has a ton.
But you would think when one of your fighters' names is always brought up, other than that one graphic on the pay-per-view, when your fighter is
Fox Sports
always brought up, always brought up in the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world discussion, you would think you would look, if you would sit back and look at, like, this is your portfolio, you'd look at it and like, huh, well, maybe I should kind of, promote that a little bit more. Because they're already promoting for me. If I put a little gasoline on that fire, everybody makes more money. Yep. Everybody.
But I don't think he cares. And that's where I...
Amazing.
I'm friends with Terrence Crawford, and that's going to be the next text that I send him is, Terrence, I'm not talking crap on Bob Arum, because he is your promoter still. But if you want to be great, you got to leave him. You do. Period. They always say there's friends for a reason and friends for a season.
Yeah.
I think Bob Arum was a friend for a season.
Wow.
Okay? And I think it's time to move on. I think he served his purpose. And Bob Arum is genius for serving those purposes. He has developed a lot of great fighters that we've all heard of. Muhammad Ali, Oscar De La Hoya, Floyd Mayweather. Those are all products of Bob Arum. Mm-hmm. So he does serve a purpose in boxing.
Yeah, but it's like the early stage stuff.
It is, and but then you they go off have and to know that it's like a mother bird pushing her child out of the nest. Go fly.
I get it, and I know.
Terrence Crawford, go fly, brother.
I get it, and I know he's made so much money in his entirety from a promotion, whatever. But man, how much money has he left on the table?
Yep. So much. And that's the thing. That's, Brandon, that's something else that we don't talk about enough, is that me and you, we don't get complacent. And I think Bob Arum has got complacent,
yeah,
because he's super rich and he's 80-something years old. What's an extra 10, 15, 20 million to him? He's like, I'm going to die,
yeah,
you know? Like, I'm not being morbid, but like, he's 80-something years old. He's already outlived the average age. Bob Arum doesn't have forever left on this planet. Does he care about hustling and making a couple extra dollars?
Listen,
no.
Listen, I would use that as an excuse, or I've talked about it as an excuse, but you just laid out, he has a track record of doing this his whole career as a promoter. It's not just when he's in his 80s. He's done it 50s, 60s, 70s.
It's a very valid point, actually.
But maybe he just knows his niche. His niche is start these guys, kind of get them going, and you know what? Yeah. They go off on their own, great, because there's more in line.
Because he's already
there's more in line.
He's right. He churns them out like nobody's business. But you know what, though? He must have a good eye for talent because
he must. Yeah.
He gets them.
Yeah, so, okay, you know what?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. His whole model works, and you know what?
But
it is what it is.
It works until it doesn't. And what I mean by that is, Terrence, know when it's time to leave. Know when that season is up. And like I said, there's friends for a reason, friends for a season.
Well, I have a great
idea. Bob Arum is a friend for a season.
I have a great idea.
Give it to me.
What you should do is go ahead and call him, text him. Be like, hey, Terrence, give us 10 minutes. Give us 10 minutes on an interview. Let him know. Let him know what we're going to ask him ahead of time, so we're not trying to trip him up. And maybe that's what we go with.
Listen, everybody, if you're watching us or listening to us on Spotify, I literally have my phone out, and I'm going to text Terrence Crawford
right now. This is the brainstorm segment of our show. Listen, you guys that are listening at this point on iHeartRadio or iTunes or Amazon Alexa, if you're watching on YouTube on any of these camera angles, this is what we do. We have notes when we first start these episodes. Like, we knew we were going to talk about Errol Spence, Danny Garcia. We knew we were probably going to talk about Terrence Crawford and possibly Errol Spence heading into next year. That's pretty much it. The rest of this show is ad-libbing, and I love it. So right now, we can Trav texting possibly the pound-for-pound best fighter in the world, depending on who you're asking.
If you're asking we can Trav, it is Terrence Crawford, Canelo second.
Okay, well, there you go. Speaking of Canelo, I hear there's a fight coming up later this month.
There is. And Canelo is fighting December 19th.
Okay.
Callum Smith, which is the brother of Liam Smith,
yeah,
who Canelo already beat. So that's December 19th. That is also in Texas. And let's talk about that, because Danny Garcia and Errol Spence just fought in Texas at Dallas Cowboy Stadium.
They had fans.
They're allowing fans. And I believe they are. I think it was just under 16,000, because I think Dallas Cowboy Stadium, for COVID and all the rules and all that, they were set up for, I think, 16,000 people or less. I don't know what the official number was. I can't remember what they announced, but it was 16,000 or less, even though the Cowboy Stadium holds like over 100,000.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But thanks to the Chinese virus, we are limited to fans. But it's good, though, because if they had the fight in California or anywhere else, they can't have any fans. It's like 100 people.
So do you think, are we ever going to hold that country accountable?
Well, if you want me to be honest, China Joe is not going to let that happen.
Yeah.
China is.
I just feel like it's
paid and bought Joe.
Well, it's
Sleepy Joe.
It's not only that. I just feel like all we're ever talking about with this virus is vaccines and how we're going to get through it, and people infected. There's some people that have, but we've never made a big deal about the source and why it came about, where it came from.
Well,
we don't really.
To be fair, Trump did make a big deal about
it.
But the mainstream media dismissed it.
Yeah, but even when you just talk to people in general.
Yeah, now it's just COVID.
It's never about, yeah, man, screw them. We're going to do something about that.
Yeah.
Listen, all of our lives got disrupted for the past, 10 months?
Yeah, it'll be going on a year
months?
Soon.
Now, it's been around for over a year. You've mentioned some things.
There were some tests back in like October, last of October,
listen,
that there was antibody tests taken from a guy like in Idaho or somewhere north, and he had it. So guys, Trump didn't even know that information as well, because it was already here. So I think it's been here for a while.
If you're hearing our voices or seeing our faces, shouldn't we all be a little pissed? that our world was basically upended for the past 10 months.
And how has China's world been? They've been back to normal for...
I mean, listen, they had to go
for
through
a little
own,
bit.
They had to go through their own crap, too. And I get
not
that.
Not the same as us. Well, I don't feel like they have. Because their death total has been way less, right?
No,
because,
you know, a friend of ours, when he had to go out there for work a few months ago, it's pretty crazy still. Like, when he came over from the U.S., he was in isolated quarantine in a hotel for 2 weeks. Couldn't leave. They brought food. They did all that stuff. And then, obviously, he's monitored because it's a communist country and there's a lot of shady crap that goes on over there. But he was giving us kind of the step-by-step what was going on. And, like, it's pretty restrictive still on travel. So they did it themselves. They shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, but on travel, though, what is it like in their everyday lives? Did they shut down businesses? Did they bankrupt businesses?
Yes and no. You never know. But you don't know. You don't know.
Because they don't tell you the truth.
No, they don't tell you the truth. You don't know from and this is speaking from what I do for a living, all the numbers and stuff you get out of China financially, you don't know what to trust.
Yeah.
You're just making guesses and assumptions. Yeah. So with regard to their economy, things like that.
They're historically known for manipulating the
And also for currency. Covering up deaths and also for, you know, taking people away and never hear from them again, you know, destroying families. I mean, they're known for stuff. But, you know, this is where we get shadow banned again.
Yeah, you know what, though? I don't care anymore.
I don't care either. Listen, how do we get shadow banned worse? I don't know.
Yeah, right? Exactly, Brandon. So, are we going to get negative
you know
views?
What?
Negative?
You know what? We're going back. I know the boxing calendar is jammed, and I love talking about it. But in our early days, episode 1, 2, 3 on, we talked a lot about this.
We did.
We brought up the big C.
We did.
We didn't like it. I still don't like it.
I hate the big C.
I hate the big C, too.
You know what I hate? The things that came along with the big C.
You know what I hate? The fact that I went grocery shopping today, and I went down the paper aisle again. I'm like, are we seriously out of toilet paper again?
So I got to...
It's stupid.
I'm going to admit something on the air now. That I haven't been shopping in like 6-7 months until a couple weeks ago. I started going again. Irina did all the shopping, so that's why I say that. But I haven't actually personally been in person to Walmart, any of these grocery stores, right? Haven't.
Wow.
Well, I did the past couple weeks now, and I walk into Walmart's, and their sign in front now says recommended mask. It doesn't say required. So guess what I've done the last two times I've been there? I am the only one in there, and I feel super awkward, but nobody has said a word to me yet, to be fair. Nobody. And I walk right in there, and like I want to wear my mask just so I don't have to stick out and see the looks.
Sure.
But honest to God, nobody has given me problems, has said a word to me. And I walk through, and I'm not kidding, every single person is wearing a mask.
You know what's interesting? Because I was at our local grocery store today. And I just wear it just because I got used to it and whatever. I don't want to piss.
I went to ABC and I had to wear it, so I wore it.
Yeah. I didn't read the language on the signs out front, but when I was shopping around, I saw one dude and he wasn't wearing a mask. Like, normal younger guy, whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of him, I think, lucky bastard.
Yeah.
I'm like, why did I, why didn't, but.
To be fair, it's uncomfortable though.
Because you stand out. So in the early days of the big C, I never wore it. If I was in Publix, and I felt like I was standing out at that point, but at least half the people weren't wearing this thing.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be some jerk. You know, I get it. If people are uncomfortable, whatever, I'm not here to make someone feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like I'm some petri dish walking around with this virus. I don't have it. Maybe I do. I don't know.
Let me float this scenario by you, though.
Let's float it.
Okay. What's this? So they have rapid tests now.
Yeah.
That literally can almost right away. So... They keep telling me that you're wearing a mask to not only protect yourself, you're protecting other people from
It's supposed to be protecting others from you. It doesn't.
Right. Okay.
It doesn't. From what I've always read, it doesn't do the other thing.
Well, I just made a video of Dr. Fauci saying in March that the masks don't work.
You lost me at Fauci.
There you go. Good. He lost me at March.
Yeah.
So, but. So rapid tests. Let me blow this by people. Rapid tests. Let's say that I'm at home and you know I work from home. TH Boxing Facilities is at my home.
Yep.
It's out back of my home. It's not inside my home, but it's on the back side of my property. So let's say that I have rapid testing.
Yep.
Let's say I take a rapid test.
Yep.
Then I go to Walmart. Why do I need to wear a mask? My rapid test said that I'm negative. So I don't want to hear or see the looks from people because they don't know whether I have it or not. They don't know my situation. They don't know if let's even say that I just got it. I got over it. Let's say I'm 20 days out from having COVID.
Yep.
Why do I have to wear a mask? Because even the most conservative estimations say that 3 months, they say it's conservative, but I think it's longer than that. But they say 3 months, you're immune to it for 3 months. So let's say I've had it 20 days ago. Why should I wear a mask?
So I completely understand what you're saying. But I think it starts to get to a slippery slope then, because I've been reading some things, and I check stuff when it comes to like the equity markets, things like that, you know, for my job. And I look at travel-related companies and stocks, things like that. Some of the rumors that I start seeing is, you know, if folks need to prove whether or not they've had a vaccine in order to travel, things along those lines. And I think we start entering a slippery slope then, Weekend Trav, of having to have a verification system that you have a vaccination. I don't like that. I don't like the privacy issue there. It's almost like the scarlet letter or the reverse scarlet letter, right?
Yeah.
Like if you haven't had the vaccine, then we're not going to serve you, or we're not going to allow you to use our services.
Well,
I don't know if I like that.
Well, see, I agree with that. But what I'm saying is that no, there shouldn't be required proof. We should just know.
But here's the problem. I think it's going to, that door is cracking open a little bit, and it's getting a little wider every day, especially when
there's some businesses now that are some jobs that are actually going to make their
or when China Joe gets in office, you know, because I think ultimately he will. I don't like the direction that that's headed. The possibilities are not very good. That's up to this point, civil liberties, having to wear a mask, whatever. I mean, it is what it is. But if we have to start...
If I have to wear a mask for businesses to stay open, I'll wear a mask.
Yeah.
Don't effing shut down businesses.
But if we have to start proving we've had something injected into our body in order to utilize such services...
Where's HIPAA at on all of this?
Exactly, my point.
Yeah. Where's HIPAA at? HIPAA,
exactly.
Where are you at, HIPAA? HIPAA.
Exactly.
Come on, HIPAA violations, where are you at?
I don't like the slippery slope that we're starting to go down.
That's you're right. That's also a question that I definitely have as well, is that where is HIPAA at and all of this? Like, where is when I don't get this, when Trump announced that he had COVID recently, Rudy Giuliani has COVID. What I don't understand is why they announced that. Is that not a HIPAA violation? I mean, Rudy okayed it. But why would you okay that? Or is a pandemic, does that equalize? And
well, I think they
What's
because they're in the spotlight right now. Like Rudy being at the head of all the legal stuff, he probably has. I mean, I understand why they put that out there, but also they're doing it because they're going to show how rapidly they get over this thing.
Yeah, you know, and Rudy's older.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe
Trump is older.
I tell you what,
he's at the age.
Let's take our break here. You know, we could probably talk Big C when we get back or whatever.
We can.
It's just really trying. It's starting to frustrate me more. You know, I'm more
starting.
Than, well, yeah.
I feel like we have ignored it because we are so frustrated.
And I think, yes, and I think there's also some complacency involved because we've just kind of gotten used to living a certain way.
Which is, I hate that.
I do hate that too. I sat in church this morning with my family, and I'll do what I got to do to go to church. You know, we sit there, we got to wear the mask.
At least you got to go to church, because some states are not even allowing church service.
Oh, I know, it's nuts. Like, we forget very often here, Weekend Trav, that we live in Florida, and it's a luxury, all these things that we get to do.
Right.
We get to go places.
It used to be a right, but now it's a luxury.
Friday, me and my family went to Epcot. Like, we go to Epcot, and we went to church, obviously, today.
You wore masks as well. I saw it. So, like, you guys were doing your due diligence.
No one. So, my comment on that Facebook post was, all smiles from the waters crew. But no one actually made mention of it because we're all wearing masks. That was my joke.
And I commented on that, didn't I?
I don't know if you did.
I liked it. I don't know if I commented, but I liked it. I did like it.
So, anyways.
I didn't comment, though.
That reminds me. I got to post something positive. I've been trying every day something positive to inject in everyone's life.
The world could use it.
The world
but
could
don't,
use
it.
But
that. Don't use the word inject.
You know who else?
Not
is,
with vaccines out there.
You know
don't
who
use
else,
word inject.
Yeah, but you know who else? You know what else is positive?
What?
Our media partners.
Who?
TH Boxing, Gulfstream Financial, IF Enterprises. Thank you. Thank you for your media support. We always appreciate it. Also, you know what else is positive? Our subscribers and followers.
We love you guys.
Thank you. We always love you guys.
I love you. I love you. I love you.
But you know what we could use? More to love. If you have yet to subscribe or follow our content, you should. Whether you're finding us on YouTube, iTunes, Instagram, iHeartRadio, we're all over the place.
We haven't even talked about Weekend Trav yet.
No. Maybe that is the cliffhanger.
Yeah, we'll get that on the back.
The cliffhanger, Weekend Trav. There is some stuff going on underneath that zip-down sweatshirt.
First of all, I know you're naked underneath all that clothing.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm naked under all my clothing.
Exactly. That's the whole point of it.
Okay. Anyways.
You actually thought about that.
I did think about it.
All right. Anyways, we're going
to... You pay me the big bucks to think, okay? I'm always thinking.
Hey, a.k.a. B-Money, a.k.a. producer, yes. This guy runs the show.
So anyways, we will be back in a few moments, and we're going to keep talking about, I don't know, stuff.
We're going to reveal Weekend Trav. As well as what alcohol we're drinking, because we do a different alcohol every single episode. Not just alcohol, whiskey or bourbon. This is our 23rd different whiskey or bourbon. We're going to rate it. We're going to also unveil Weekend Trav, because I'm back. Weekend Trav is back.
And you know what? If the CDC ever says we can't do this, we're going to say, screw you, CDC. Screw you.
Yeah.
That's it. We'll be back. You can't put that in there.
But I'm
That's
really,
what she said.
Really. I feel like you should put that in there.
Okay, I can put that in. Okay, so we're back. We're back from break. And without further ado, it's Weekend Trav time. We delayed long enough.
It's the unveiling. We've never delayed this long before. I usually do this in the pre-record Facebook Live that we do. I usually have it on. And then we've never went this long in our episodes of not showing Weekend Trav.
Frankly, I just think we forgot.
I think it happened, actually.
Okay.
We got off on our tangent.
Let's just do this now. Let's take care of this. Here it is. For those listening on the podcast streaming services, Weekend Trav is starting to strip down. He's taking his sweatshirt off. Oh, he's wearing sweatpants, too, which is amazing. That's a Looney Tunes shirt. Did I say turd?
But wait, listen. Who do we got? We got Tasmanian Devil.
Yep.
We got Bugs Bunny.
We got Marvin the Martian. Speedy Gonzalez. I see him on there.
Yep. Everybody.
We're not sponsored by Warner Brothers.
But we should be.
So that, I guess, is now... What has happened to Weekend Trav?
Weekend Trav is not specific.
No, he's not.
Weekend Trav is Weekend Trav. Just like B-Money's B-Money.
Hmm.
Hey, money is money.
Money is money.
Money is money.
Hey, all money's green.
Weekend Trav
all
is
money
Weekend
is green.
Trav. It's true.
So, although, there you go. We're sporting the Looney Tunes. We were talking before, like when we were in like third and fourth grade, Looney Tunes was like a big deal. Like they were on everything.
Bleep, bleep, bleep. That's all, folks.
Like sports shirts, whatever. They always had the Tasmanian Devil like wearing like, a, I don't know, it was everywhere.
So you want to know that I actually have a Tasmanian Devil tattoo on my left shoulder blade?
That's right.
That's hilarious, and I'm not going to show that.
No, let's not.
No, definitely not.
So, anyways, that is the Weekend Trav attire. Have you had that shirt, or did you?
Literally,
don't tell me you just bought that.
I just bought it.
Serious? What led you to actually like search for that?
So I wasn't searching for that because my typical Weekend Trav outfit is a tropical shirt. So I was searching for a tropical shirt, and this just jumped out at me like Bugs Bunny. He jumped at me.
Yeah.
But I am a little upset that I don't have Tom and Jerry because I was looking for a Tom and Jerry.
Well, that's not Looney Tunes.
I know, but I was looking for Tom and Jerry, and I settled for Looney Tunes.
That's Hanna-Barbera, isn't it?
I don't know. But either way, I love them all because they were all during my time and yours as well.
It was, yeah.
So all of these guys, Bugs Bunny,
I always like
Marvin the Martian.
I always like Marvin the Martian. Oh, wow. I like Marvin the Martian.
Everybody. So Sylvester, I love them all. However, I was looking for the cat and the mouse, and I couldn't find them.
Jeez. Okay. So we just hold on. We're just going to a hard pivot. Hard pivot. So we are drinking today. Sorry if I moved away from the mic there. We have Proper 12 Irish whiskey. So it's not bourbon, but we have this this whiskey. Proper 12, if you've heard of this, it's probably because of the... I guess he's the owner. He doesn't make this stuff himself. He just pays people to make it. Conor McGregor. That guy.
They were actually a sponsor of the fight, the boxing matches last night. It was on the ring aprons.
Proper 12 was?
Yeah, that's what made me actually get it today was Proper 12.
So, yeah, aged, distilled, bottled in Ireland. Now, Wyatt... Okay, I'm just going to jump right in here. It's okay. It's not that great. It's okay. Now, probably because it's only been aged 4 years. So, I mean, it's a pretty new company anyways, but the bottle even says 4 years. It's all
good.
It's all right.
It's all right, but let's get to the judging because I'll tell you how I really feel about it.
Okay, so
first of all, Conor McGregor, he's all right. He's all right.
He's all right.
So I'm probably going to judge this the same way I feel about him.
Yeah, I think
he's all right. Now, don't hate him.
Now,
don't love him.
To our conversation in the first half of the show about fighters promoting themselves, guy knows what he's doing.
100%.
100%. And don't get me wrong, great fighter.
He is.
Great fighter.
But he's not the best.
Ever, no. No, but he's very
good. But
he's the
biggest moneymaker. He's not the best, biggest moneymaker.
Listen, when somebody at one point in their life has been starving and their family's been starving and you can do what you're doing now, you are hungry and you won't be hungry ever again because he will always be doing stuff like this and other things rather than just fight. Very smart. Very smart. Even when he was doing the stuff with Floyd, very smart. They marketed that very well. He made a ton of money.
It makes you want to bring up somebody else real fast. Okay. I have to. President of the United States, Donald Trump.
Okay.
If indeed he lost, which is looking like he did.
Yeah.
If indeed he lost, I just want to let everybody know that Donald Trump is not going anywhere.
No.
You people, I want you guys to know that I'm not yelling at you, nothing, but I'm telling you that the guy is that popular that 74 million people voted for him. 10 million more people voted for him than they did the previous election that he was elected in. So he's going to be campaigning, I believe, for 4 years. And we're going to hear more from Donald Trump than we ever have. So if you guys thought voting him out of office was going to get rid of him, I'm sorry, but it's not. We're actually going to get a very unedited,
unfiltered
version of Donald Trump.
You thought he was unfiltered before.
Exactly. That's it. You guys all thought he was very bad spoken, which I actually agree. He was very not good spoken. He doesn't speak well. Not good spoken. That's
doesn't speak very good.
And never hooked on phonics. It worked for me. But that's serious, though. I had to bring that up because I want people to know that. So back to the
let's
whole.
Let's go to Proper 12.
Proper 12.
We're going to give it the out of 10 boxing gloves. How about I rank it first? I'll give mine because I always give it. You always give yours
go
first.
For it.
Out of 10, I'm giving this a 4.2.
Oh my! You're giving it that low?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And the reason why? Here's why.
Give it to me. You had it, but I've also had it neat. I never drank. I drink it.
Neat's fine. And I've had it different. Neat. I've had it neat now, and then I've also had it with some ice as well. I just to try to like both different ways. I've just had other whiskeys that I like a lot better. So when I'm grading it against other stuff, this isn't the first thing I'm pulling off the shelf, right? I think somebody in the Facebook Live that you did referenced it a poor man's Jameson. And Jameson is like a poor man's whiskey.
They said a watered-down Jameson.
A watered-down Jameson. And Jameson, depending on the kind you get, now last week we had a form of Jameson. It wasn't the normal Jameson you get just at a bar or whatever else. But Proper 12 is, it's okay. It's okay, but if you see a list of Irish whiskeys and this is on there, you're probably going to go after something else. This is, to me, because of the name Conor McGregor. Because
he promoted himself.
That's why we got it.
Yeah.
That's it.
It is. It says it's a smooth blend with hints of vanilla, honey, and toasted wood.
I get none of those.
I want to tell everybody on here that I get none of those as well.
I get the smooth. It's definitely smooth. When you first poured it for me, when you were doing the Facebook Live, I tasted it. I'm like, okay, it's smooth.
I'm going to go a little higher than you, Brendan. I'm going to say 5.6.
Okay.
Because it's like Connor. I'm a middle of the road guy. I feel like I'm a 5 with Connor. Out of a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, 10 hating him, 1 loving him. I'm a 5. I'm literally dead middle. This is a little above the middle, but again, if you're buying this for any of the aforementioned a smooth blend with hints of vanilla, honey, and toasted wood, which it says on the bottle. I'm reading it for the Spotify people. YouTube, follow us on YouTube because you can see us. But I get none of that. I literally, I don't get any of it. I'm sorry, I don't, Brandon. Okay. Me personally, my taste buds, I don't. I don't even get the toasted.
I get the vanilla. I get the vanilla.
You're so vanilla.
I am vanilla. I'm as vanilla as they come. Just look at me on YouTube. Look at me.
You're not. You are not. You are our...
I'm more like soft mocha.
You're the cultured person.
I'm more like soft mocha.
You're the cultured person of this podcast.
My buddy at my old firm, Matt Hahn, he would call me...
I know a Matt Hahn.
Well, that's it's really not the funny. Same Matt Hahn.
I know, but he's from Missouri. Hahn, what's up, bro?
So he would call me think dark mocha or something like that. Like because I don't care. I don't care if the racist stuff. It doesn't bother me. But we were buddies.
That's racist?
I guess. I don't know. Because of my skin color? Because everyone's all like soft nowadays. Light we're mocha. So soft, maybe too. Light mocha is what it is. Because I'm not like super dark.
It's like, you know what? Your coffee with some cream.
Mm.
Put a little creamer in it.
Mm. Just a little dash. Little dash.
I mean, you're a couple dashes.
Okay, so I do get the vanilla a little bit.
I don't. So,
so I
we're
say,
different, but
I will
I'm
say
don't.
It is smooth. When you taste it at first, you're like, you're not like, oh. No, it's smooth. But I'm still going to stick by my score. It's not going to adjust it. Now, our average between the two of us is a 4.9. It's not the worst thing we've had.
No. It's but I still gave it a 5. 5, what did I get? 5.6?
5.6.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with that. 5.6, which is a little taller than Manny Pacquiao, but whatever.
Who's the only one out there that might disagree with that? Connor? Fine. Connor, if you randomly happen upon our podcast and don't like the rating we gave you, well, prove us wrong.
You want this work, Connor? I'll give you this work.
There you go. Looney Tunes will give you that work.
TH Boxing Facility,
TH
Looney
Boxing.
Tunes.
We got it ready for you.
You ready for this? Yeah.
No one's ready
Sorry.
For that.
Sorry.
No one's ready for that. So proper 12. We're still going to drink it. I mean, don't get me wrong.
I feel like it's proper 5.6.
Well, maybe proper 4.9.
We're going to rename it. Connor, listen, shut up. We love you. You sold it pretty well, but it's proper 4.9 now. Sorry, bro, but we renamed your whiskey.
Yeah. But hey, more power to him. He's making a ton more money than all
Listen,
of us combined.
First of all, you're making more money than weighing in with Travis Hartman for now. We're coming for you, bro. Hmm. We got big dreams. We're coming for you. Okay.
We're willing to fail big.
I fail
every day.
I literally was just sitting there and say, I feel like something, and I go, I fail like something. Way to go. You got failure in my head, and I want to take it out. I feel like.
Well, I'm going off of how you started tonight.
How did I start? Not good.
I wrote notes. What? Fail big.
Yeah.
Eventually turned it to don't be afraid to fail.
I didn't turn it to that. It was that the whole time, but I had to get to that.
Yeah, we had to get there.
Listen, I am like a fine wine, aged to perfection. So you have to listen to my content for an amount of time. I don't say the best things right away, but if you put them all together, they're great. So when I was saying fail big, I was leading up to the fact that you should not be afraid of failure. So in that regard, if you're going to do something, do it bigly.
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 You know who says bigly?
No.
Donald Trump.
Okay.
He actually, it's his word. That's why I said it. It was bigly. But I don't want to be like Donald Trump. Let's be honest. I don't. But
no, you know who you got to be like?
Who?
Travis Hartman.
I like that. That's the only thing that we all can do. We can all
be
like ourselves. We can be our best selves.
Yeah.
Every day.
That's why I'm like always, like, whenever you like read self-help books or like guys like motivators, things like that, part of me is like, oh, this is good content. And I have another part of me, it's like, yeah, but if somebody's out there just trying to take fragments of all these guys and change who they are, it's kind of defeating the purpose, right? You're getting away from who you are. Now, take some of these things and help try to, like, light the fire underneath you. I get that. But when somebody goes out and just tries to change exactly who they are to these other people, these motivators, that you are then setting yourself up to fail. We'll take that word.
That, and you're not even failing bigly there, though.
No, you're just
you're
failing because you're trying
like
to be,
them.
Because you're trying to be someone you're not.
So, you know, I have a great quote and a great phrase that I used to always tell Irina when she was playing tennis, too. I said, be better than your best. That is the best advice that I give anybody that. Don't try to compete with other people.
Yeah.
Like they always say, they're like, oh, flowers and plants. They don't compete with the other flowers. They just try to go to the sun as best as they can. So don't compete with other people.
Well,
when you're ultimately going to succeed is And what I mean by fail big and don't be afraid to fail is fail for yourself. Don't copy somebody else and then fail doing what they did that you thought was going to work for you, because you can't do that.
Yeah.
You have to actually do what's best for you. And people want that genuineness. People want you to be you, whether it's great or not, be yourself.
That's why I like even as simple as what we do here, I enjoy what we do here because, first of all, we have a good time. And we've said it before, the moment this isn't fun, we have problems.
True.
Then that's probably when this thing starts shutting down. If we're not having a good time, then what's the point?
And episode 23 was, let's get back to us.
Yeah.
Being fun.
No, there's been a lot of boxing content recently, so rightfully so.
It was fun, though.
And there's still a lot of fights throughout the end of the year and into next year, but you know what? We're having a good time. This is fun. And it's worked. It's in time for the holidays. It's time for us to have a good time for the holidays.
Weekend Trev's next outfit's going to be pretty good.
Look, I'm wearing a sweatshirt. I don't even need to. It's like 80 degrees outside.
It's a little chillier. It's not. That's a very good hoodie.
Alma mater.
It's a nice hoodie.
Thank you.
I'll be honest. But I don't know what I was going to say.
I don't know either.
But your hoodie's nice.
Thank you.
Your shirt's okay. I was probably going to say. It's just okay.
It's okay.
First of all, that's fine. Because you've loved one of my Weekend Trev outfits, and I still have that. I haven't worn it yet.
Yeah.
Again, I want to know when I can start repeating some of my favorite. You know what we could do? We could do a year-ender show.
Okay.
We can start bringing up. Oh, that's perfect, Brandon.
Well, we have a lot of bourbons.
B money. Yeah, but only our favorites. We'll do like a top five favorites. Our year-ender is going to be awesome. We're going to do our top. That's perfect. We're spitballing on air because
this
is what we do.
Yes, we are.
So, our top five favorite bourbon/whiskeys.
Okay. Hold on. Okay. Let me jot some notes.
And then I'm going to do, and you know what? You can join in this one too. Weekend Trav's top five favorite outfits. That's there. So that's two.
What I want is, especially for the outfits, because unless you all have tried the different bourbons and whiskeys we've had, I want someone to comment or at least give us feedback on some of the top five outfits that you have, or maybe just your favorite.
Let's put that out there.
That you've worn.
We'll put the week leading up to our weekend ender. We're going to put that up.
We'll put out, some sort of...
It's like a little poll or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Follow us on Insta.
Bracketology. Brandon. I love that word.
There we go.
Brandon's a bracket.
In. Brandon's in. Just talk about brackets, he's in.
We're creating a bracket.
B-Money. B-Money loves the organization of that.
I do. My mind has to be organized.
So we got top five bourbon/whiskeys, and by then it'll be like 24 or 25.
Gosh, yeah.
I can't believe we've done that many. I actually...
It's almost like we're alcoholics,
We're not, actually, because we barely... Well, some...
Okay, 4.9, you know it's going down.
I know, right? That's why I feel like your 4.9 was too low. It was too low.
I'm committed
to my
ranking.
I'm going to be honest. I was going to rank mine in the sixes. But as soon as you came out with your... If you would have did a five, I still would have done the six.
I could have easily popped it higher because of the price. What was it, like $25?
Yep. Okay. It was like $25.50 something.
Listen, it's good for a $25 Irish whiskey, but you can probably get something better for $25.
All right, but I'm just going to tell you that I rated mine a little bit lower because you went first. I'm actually glad you went first because if I'd have said a six and you would have said a four, I'd have been like... Crap. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about.
It would have averaged out higher then.
It's true. It would have been at least a five, which would have been
proper 5 point whatever instead of proper 4.9.
Proper 5.0 sounds better.
Yeah. Now,
damn it.
Well, when we were at Brian Price's house for the Tyson fight, he had that advent calendar of all
whiskeys and
bourbons. We should
text him to see how that's going.
Yeah, we should.
He's on new ones then because he let us do the first 4 days. So he's on.
There was some stuff.
He's on day six.
There was some stuff there that was gross.
Okay, I'll put this out there, and I'm sorry because I'm a Heinz 57 like most of the United States, meaning I have a bunch of different ethnicities inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
However, I am a majority. That is not what she said. I am a majority. I'm a majority Italian.
Okay. Yep.
But Italians do not know how to make bourbon or whiskey.
No, and there's an Italian one.
I had the Italian one on the advent calendar. I would have rated that one a 1.2. And I felt awful I didn't even finish it, and I felt awful about that. But it was like half of it.
To be fair, the one that I had of that, I think it was day number one. It was an Irish. I don't know what it was. Because it shows you like unmarked. They don't give you what it was. Or maybe the cards did, but I didn't pay attention. So mine was an Irish whiskey. Like, this is an Irish whiskey. This one's better than that. This one's better than the one I had at Advent.
Really?
Or at his house for the, out this of the one Advent. Is. Yeah, this is better. It's still not my favorite.
I didn't drink it, though. I didn't drink yours because I just had mine.
Yeah, so it is what it is. I don't know why we're still talking. See, this is how Connor works, man. He gets all that marketing. People like us, we're talking about it still. Usually, our bourbon and whiskey segment's like a minute and we're done. We're still talking about Proper 12.
Listen, I'm going to give you a couple of different examples of how Connor and his model works because Floyd Mayweather, people would pay to see him lose or win, but either way, they were paying to see him. He brought people out in numbers. And then I'm gonna fast forward you to right now, guys. Say what you want about the man, but the president of the United States, you can say what you want. Even though he might have lost this election, more people came out for this election than all time in the history of the United States.
Some people,
so they some came people, out against him, obviously.
Some people even, you know, came back from the dead to vote. It's amazing.
And I mean, some people voted two or three times, but that's up for speculation.
Even the machines voted. It was amazing.
Everybody came out in this election. So what Donald Trump should probably try to do is, first of all, although a lot of people want him to run again in 2024, I don't think you should, Donald, because I think you're that popular that you should get back in the sporting game, because Donald Trump used to actually, you know, he used to be a big part of professional boxing in Atlantic City, New Jersey. He used to do a lot of stuff at Trump, Taj Mahal, all of that. He used to be big boxing guy. Mike Tyson knows him. Mike Tyson likes him. So, Donald, if you don't run in 2024, which I don't like, you're popular. You could probably win because Sleepy Joe is Sleepy Joe, and he's part of the establishment. However, you would be more popular if you came into boxing world because you bring people out. They don't necessarily have to be for you, but as long as they're buying tickets, I don't care. So I think I would love to have you in the boxing world because I want you to pick out a couple of, you know what? I want Donald Trump to come out and say, hey, I'm going to be a boxing promoter, and guess who I'm going to promote? Terrence Crawford. Game, set, match. Terrence Crawford will be the most, maybe not
what
loved
weird,
guy, popular,
weird,
rich guy.
Fantasy world are you living
in? I am
this
living
moment?
In a crazy Looney Tunes
world. That is a loony
world.
That's a loony.
But can you imagine Terrence Crawford if Donald Trump decided to promote Terrence Crawford? He'll be popular. People will come to see him probably lose, but they'll come.
If you even tee that up with Terrence, he's going to tell you to remove his phone number from your phone.
He's going to block me.
So I have a whole,
Terrence is going to block me.
I have a whole theory about voting, and this goes all the way back to Reagan. Because I think we're significantly dominated by the establishment.
Yes.
Republican and Democrat, but just the old guard, not wanting to give up their power seats. Okay, and we're all sheep in this whole thing. Voters are sheep. Democrat and Republican voters are sheep. But I think back in the 80s, Reagan broke the normal model of that, of how they've kept the elections fixed. Let's just say fixed, because I feel like they're fixed.
Okay.
I feel like Reagan somehow broke that. Then once he was done with his terms, they refigured it. Because then, from that point forward, there was no surprises, really. George Sr. was supposed to win. Bill Clinton came out of nowhere. And once again, an establishment-type candidate, he won. George W., long family in the political game, he won. Obama was groomed for it, he won. So there wasn't any surprises again until Trump. Trump broke that system again. And then we're seeing it on this election cycle, how the establishment, both sides, because they... both establishments don't want him there.
They don't like him. They don't.
So they're figuring out a way to get rid of it again in order for all those old guard to keep the power again. And once again, us voters, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, we are sheep.
Yep.
We are being led to this, and we're fighting against each other. And you know who's sitting back and laughing the whole time? The old school Democrats, Republicans in the power seats. they are laughing
Pelosi
at what we,
not and even Mitch her. McConnell yeah, all those are guys, yeah. sitting back yeah. and they're saying, fight it out, guys, because I'm sitting back here. I'm happy. I'm old. I'm
happy, old, and fat.
You know what? But listen, I'm gonna throw this. I'm going to throw my version of the race card in there and saying that Democrats want to be like, oh, we're the people of all races and religions, whatever else, right? They're not. Okay? They elected an old white guy.
Yeah.
Who they like to claim that is white supremacist. America is white supremacist. We are an all white, blah, blah. But yet, what'd they do, Brandon? They voted overwhelming. Okay, this is where I have a little bit of a glitch.
Well, take a step back. Even their two finalists were two old, rich white guys.
I know. And so, but the funny part is that Barack Obama mm-hmm. was... Not was, is, by far, in my opinion, by far, the best speaker and speech giver of anybody that I've ever witnessed. That guy, it's like the old Tom
Hooper episode. President or just anybody?
Person, in
really?
General.
Okay.
That guy has rallied and gets more people in. I'm going to be honest. I've listened to some of his rallies, though, man. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. He speaks so well.
Oh, no. I'll get that. Yeah.
He's a good
speaker. He's polished.
Speaker.
He knows
yes.
what he's doing.
And he knows how to bring people on board.
And it's empty stuff, but yeah.
Yes, it is. Agreed. But that's why I think that he is one of the best, like, I don't know, snake oil salesmen.
Well, yeah, but then also, listen, take our guy, Trump. Yes, he's backed up a lot of the stuff, but a lot of his, it's almost like some of the playbook from Obama. Rally the crowd. Hit the highlight points, hit the bullet points, get them energized. It's the same stuff.
It is. And it's the same stuff in a different model, meaning...
Correct.
Trump speaks very horrifically. He does. But he fires his base up. But what I'm saying about that, though, is Obama got... I was going somewhere with that because, like I always tell you, I don't ever mean... Listen, Brandon. I'm playing chess. Y'all are playing checkers. Okay?
Okay.
I go somewhere with my speeches. So it's not just that. What I mean by that is Obama's a great speaker. He fired up his base enough to bring on the moderates. And that's ultimately, every politician knows this on both sides. Whoever can bring on the middle class is going to win. That's who wins elections because their base is their base. Democrats are going to vote for Democrats, hardcore ones. Republicans are going to vote for no matter who they are.
Right.
Trump made a... People, like, make fun of this, but it's true on both sides. People make fun of this. Trump was like, I could shoot somebody, and they would still support me. He's not wrong, right. actually, because right. they would. What people don't realize is we only have two choices. Mm-hmm. We either have him or the other guy,
mm-hmm.
okay? So we're choosing the least worst of the two. We're not choosing the best. But what I mean by that is, back to Obama. Obama was a great speech giver. He did a lot. He spoke well. He brought people on well. He motivated people. He did the opposite, usually, of what he was spoke. But not the opposite, but he would massage your ego and then do something else behind closed doors. He was. I mean, essentially a snake oil salesman,
sure.
what they call.
A lot of politicians are that.
They are. But what I'm getting to is that he was so good at what he did, and he brought on a lot of the middle ground people. He really did, and he won... He's a two-term president, which is phenomenal. But what I want to say about that is Joe Biden is nowhere near who and what Obama was and
right.
is, yet he got 80 million
right.
votes. I think Obama got like 65
yeah.
million. So I think we all should look at this election. I don't care who won. Look at this election and think about that. Joe Biden, let's be honest, he is half of the man that Barack Obama was. And I don't think anybody listening to our show would disagree with that.
Right.
Joe Biden is half the man Barack Obama was. Yet, he won over 15 million more votes.
Record amount of votes.
Explain that to me.
Yeah, there's no
explain that to me.
There's no
Looney Tunes. Explain that
there's
to
no
me.
There's no explanation. And we also have to keep in mind also... Those two elections that Obama won, he was going against McCain and Romney.
Yeah. Romney had a better shot, probably.
Not,
actually,
yeah,
I don't know. Actually, I don't
not,
know.
Not exactly two powerhouses now.
On two guys who are rhinos now.
I just really well, have... Well, one's
rest
dead.
In peace. Rest in
rest
peace.
In peace.
Sorry, yeah.
But I just really... I just have a feeling. This is maybe the conspiracy theorist in me. I really feel as if the establishment, quote-unquote, the establishment, wanted and needed Trump and any of those kind of guys and gals out as quick as possible at any cost. And I really... Because it's the power. It always comes back to power. It's not about getting things better for the American people.
But why... But this is my understanding, and this is where I'm actually going to agree with people, is why'd they let Trump get elected in the first place?
I think it was similar to how... Because
I think elections are rigged. I think that.
Well, yeah, me too. But also, going way back... Reagan, I think he was governor of California as well.
Which is crazy.
But he broke the model. Yeah. He was a Republican from California. An actor.
Yep.
He broke the model and broke, however, in my opinion, however things were fixed up to that point.
Yep.
And he figured out how to break that system for 8 years. And then they fixed it. However they do it to us.
Term president.
However they do it to us, they fixed it all the way up until the big D, Donald. He broke it again. And then they figured out how to rework the system to get back to the establishment. Because look, guys, our president going into 2021 is going to be a dude that's been up there for 40 plus years.
47.
47 years. And look at all the cronies that are also in power, Republican and Democrats. They've all been there for decades upon decades.
Look at his cabinet. He's already named people.
Not even just the cabinet. I'm talking about just Senate and House, Republicans and Democrats. A lot of those people have been up there for decades.
Yep.
I'm a big believer in term limits. I really think there should be term limits.
The big D was also a believer in term limits.
I don't think it should be like a quick like turn or like a two-term thing. No, I think there needs to be, because you need policy and stuff, and change has to take time and simmer.
320 million people, yeah, and they need time.
Some of these people have been up there, in Joe's case, for 47 years.
You're done.
Come on.
You're done. Yep.
And you know what? Us as American people, you don't really realize the benefits to being there for more than one term. How about the pension for life? How about the medical benefits for life? Yep. All that stuff. And that's what's happening underneath our noses. I think the establishment wanted the power seat back and for all of us to be blind sheep. And here's where we are in 2021, back to being blind sheep.
Yeah. We're back to arguing with each other about stupid one side versus the other side, and politics shouldn't be that way. It should have been like whatever happened to I feel like I'm talking globalist here, but I'm not, because I don't believe in globalism, because I believe every culture, every country, everything is different. So I don't believe it's one broad stroke is all of them. But we're the United States of America. We're 320 million people. Like, can we not come back together? It's called the United States. As long as we have... Listen, this is why our founding fathers and our Constitution, I believe people should respect it even more now to this day, because it's over 200 years old. But look how amazing these people were, though. They were amazing way back in the day to think of this. And George Washington said it. He's our first president, right? He goes, the two-party system, I'm not a fan of. It's not good,
right?
Because it'll... split this country. He said that back in the day. He was the first president of the United States.
There were more parties back then. The Whig Party was there. There obviously Republican, Democrats, and that's kind of interchanged before. I mean, there are other parties at that point, but we have filtered down to what
the
we're seeing
now. The major two parties.
It was a problem. Here's why I think we'll probably never see unity ever again. And here's why. Here's my test. When you look at September 11th, we had unity as a country at that point. But how short-lived was that? And that was an attack on our soil. And that unity was short-lived. Because the moment somebody in power, both sides, could profit off of that for power purposes, they did it and they spun us against each other. And here we are already in such a short period of time off of that kind of an attack. I don't think we ever see that kind of unity ever again.
Well,
or if we do, it's short-lived again.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you why I do support Donald Trump in his policies and him as a policymaker, as the president, is because, you know how I think that we could have came together as a country? Is if he would have done what every other Republican president has done. Started a new war.
I know.
Listen,
and we're so,
if he would have started a new war, he had multiple opportunities to do it. And the sad thing is, that's going to be his knock on, probably Republicans are going to tell him privately, bro, if you'd have went to war, you would have got elected again.
It's incredible.
And that's sad.
It's incredible that, I get it if you hate the guy, whatever. You can hate whoever you want.
He's pretty easy to hate,
but
though.
But the fact that you don't give him that credit, like he's bringing troops still back. Yeah. Afghanistan. We're trying to zero
we're
that out.
At him for that.
Yeah. Like, we're trying to get out of wars. We haven't started a war, if anything.
It's the first time in I don't know how many years we haven't started a new war, like 40 plus years.
And yet, some of the criticisms of him that you hear from the ultra left is, oh, he's crazy. He's still the guy that has the finger on the button. Are you kidding me? He's actually doing the opposite of all the other people.
He could be doing that on his way out right now. He could be doing crazy stuff, and he's not.
He's still actively trying to get our troops home. Like, I don't care if you don't agree with anything else. You got to agree with something like that. We're not the world's police.
Well, I mean,
we shouldn't be.
I know we shouldn't be, but we are. The United States of America is the world police. That's what we are. Whether we like it or not, we are.
Yeah. So
why we have the biggest military budget, like 40 some countries combined.
I just have a feeling he obviously was not the prototype president.
No. Nope.
And the prototypical politicians don't like that either side, and whatever it takes to get him out, they got him out. And I think, once again,
so far,
voters, left and right, we're all just all blind to it. We're all blind to what's really going on, and it's all about power, folks. And hey, before you know it, while you're watching this video on YouTube, they're going to shut it down. They're going to put an ad up there, and they're going to take the video down and shadow ban us.
They do it all the time.
Conspiracy.
Listen, first of all, we can't accept normal failures because we want to fail big, like I've said, right? So right now, we're failing on the small scale. So yes, listen, again, agreed, I'll reiterate that I don't want you to go out and fail. I don't. That's not what I'm predicting. I don't want you to go out and fail. I want you to go out and not be afraid of failure. So go for it. And this podcast, Brandon, we're going for it. That's what we're doing. We're going for it.
Here's my message then to that is, it's not about failure. It's about doing. We want you to go out and do.
And don't be afraid of failing.
Go and do. Not to go do-do, but go and do.
You do.
You do you.
I do.
And
we do.
I do me. You do you?
Russia.
I don't know. What else do we got? What else do we got from, are we done with politics?
Well, we'll never be done with politics. For the simple fact that we're drinking out of 0% liberal.
That's true. Listen,
I want to tell you this, though, because I had a conversation with one of my clients about a week ago, and we were talking about, like, healthcare, things like that, and I do a lot of, like, charity stuff, and I believe that people need help that deserve help, things like that.
Of course.
Right? And he was like, he looked at me, he was like, Travis, you do realize that you're being liberal. I go, I didn't say I am, like, I'm not a far right conservative. I'm not. I do believe people need help, but I've been all about it on my Facebook page. And if anybody follows me, which a lot of people probably do that follow our page, I say this because people have been talking about, oh, they're like, you guys are all crazy because Jesus Christ was a socialist.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. I got to talk about it. That Jesus Christ is not, because socialism demands people who have stuff give. They make them.
It's forced.
Jesus Christ.
Gives the choice.
Exactly. So that's my point. Yes, is Jesus Christ has a socialist type of mindset? Probably. He probably does. Yes, because he wants to help people. Whoa. But what I tell people this, and I believe this, and this is in our government, this is in the new age that we're in, is that you give a man a fish, he will eat for a day.
Teach a man
to
fish.
You teach a man to fish, he will eat for a lifetime. Good. I proclaim overwhelmingly, let's educate and teach people rather than rely on the government to give them a check, because what happens when they get a check, they become reliant and dependent and don't do anything.
So two things. One, unfortunately, that will never be the case because the people, once again, in power don't want that to be the case.
Because they want to have their jobs. Government needs jobs.
They want to keep people under their control. And what's the best way to do it? Keep them from being properly educated. Keep them with their hands out to the government. That's one. Number two, going back to the Jesus Christ socialist stuff. So the difference being is that we talked about it being forced and having the choice to do so.
It's called free
will. I saw somebody reference the rich young ruler, and because I've done some biblical scholar stuff, the rich young ruler, when Jesus told him to basically sell his possessions and follow him, it wasn't saying money's bad. It wasn't saying do this so you can benefit everybody around him. The problem with the rich young ruler was that's what was his stumbling block. It was money. It was power.
And so
Jesus was looking at him and saying, you need to drop the stuff that's holding you back.
He was personally testing him.
There was nothing about money being bad. It's the root of the money. It's not the bad part. It's actually the root of evil, but it's not money being bad itself. It's how it holds you back. And so in the rich young ruler's case, Jesus said to him, sell everything and follow me, because that was the stumbling block. If his stumbling block was gambling, if his stumbling block was at the time pornography or something like that, he would have told him that.
Yep.
He would have said, stop gambling, stop drinking, stop looking up porn, stop going to the bathhouses, whatever. And he would have said, follow me. In his case, it was the money.
Yeah.
People don't understand that. They look at that and like, oh, see, there you go. Sell everything and give away. Give everything away. What was interesting in the early church in Acts was that at that point, everybody, yes, they were sharing. People that had like land to sell, they were selling it because they were growing the church and they were on fire for stuff. And so people want to draw allusions to socialism in that case too, but it wasn't forced. It wasn't required. Peter, the head of the early church, didn't tell people, you need to sell all that stuff in order to be a part of this. No, no. Now, they would say to do that, but they didn't force that.
It was up to you.
It was up to you and your heart.
Free will.
Your heart. I'm a big believer in the fact that, and this goes into a different topic of the church and things like that. The church has been neutered in our country. The church should be the tip of the spear that goes and attacks poverty and goes and attacks all these things. We, as Christians and other faiths, need to be at the forefront of eliminating poverty and eliminating all these social issues. We should be the ones with the money, the food, the distribution, the time, and we are neutered. We are neutered, and now when we look to the government.
Who are we neutered by?
The government.
Okay.
And now we look at like the government's supposed to solve these social issues. No, it was commissioned early.
Give us stuff.
In Christianity, it was commissioned that the church does it. And in other faiths, you're commissioned by your faith council that you're supposed to be the ones at being the spearhead of this stuff, not the governments, not the world governments. Wake up, everybody. We are in a controlled bubble, and we do not see it. And it's such a topic as poverty, as people starving. It shouldn't be up to the government to do that. Now, can they help? Absolutely.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I think they help with the wrong motives.
What I want to tell people is that most of these people that are in serious need of food and all of that, how many churches have ever turned away somebody?
Exactly.
Zero. Zero. Because if this church turns somebody away, you know what they're probably going to do? And what they're, as a rightful church, should do? It's like, we cannot take you on, but here's a church that will. Okay?
And
that's my point, is that government is not the answer. More government is not the answer. Never will be the answer.
And don't get me wrong, because I think there are bad churches out there too. So I don't want people to think I'm thumping my Bible or whatever.
That's also called free will.
Yes, but there are bad churches that do things for publicity. They're like, oh, look at the good we're doing. But there are so many more that do more good than you actually recognize and realize, because they don't draw claim to it. They just go and do it.
They don't need to, because you're not supposed to.
They go and help. Yep. They go and help. And I know you, and you know me. If one of our friends or somebody we know is in need, we are going to do whatever we can to take the shirt off our back, even that Looney Tunes shirt. We're going to give them the shirt off our back to help.
Yep, 100%. Because that's what you're supposed to do.
I don't need to call the federal government to go help a family. We will help the family.
Because we are the family. Because at the end of the day, we all are family.
Yes.
And if you listen to God, you trace it far enough back, we're all family. We're all related. So,
and these are tenets in every religion, not just ours.
That's the crazy but yet funny thing is that at the end of the day, almost all religions kind of have the same end game. They really do.
Yeah.
They all teach at the end, it's almost the same.
And
it really is.
And I'll tell you what that tenet is. Almost, for the most part.
What?
ELE. Everyone love everyone.
I looked it up, and in the King James Version of the Bible, it mentions the word love more than 300 times.
Mm-hmm.
Every other version after that, it gets up to like 500 or 600. So
it also says, fear not, to some degree or another, 365 times in the Bible, one for every day. So everyone love everyone, and I think that's probably the best place for us to stop this madness. Because now that we're starting to talk religion and politics and how it works out, I get fired up and I can start talking.
We both do, so we could go on tangents.
Bless others. Guys and gals, this is definitely the season that you're more in tune to blessing others, and you should do it year-round, but this is the time. There's people out there in need, different organizations, different families in need. Just help. Don't draw attention to yourself from doing it. Just go do it. Just go help.
Yep.
Go help. Time, money, food, whatever it takes. Just go help. I mean, you make such a massive impact by doing that. And you don't have to publicize it on social media. You don't have to get a podcast going and talk about all the good you're doing in the world. Just go and do. Do it.
Agreed.
Do it.
I mean, even though I'm not a big fan of Nike, their slogan of
one of the smartest slogans ever in history.
Smartest. And you know what? Nike actually, I think it's the Greek goddesses, it's actually the goddess of victory.
Something like that, yeah.
It is. I know for sure. For a fact, Nike is the goddess of victory. So, people, listen, when we start having to look to the government and rely on the government to solve our social, economical problems, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What I mean by all of that is we always say ELE, which means everybody love everybody. The Bible teaches love. And at the end of the day, love your neighbor, love your friends, love your family. And what that means is take care of them.
Yeah.
And if you have a neighbor or a friend or a family member that's going through a very, very difficult time, and you're not doing everything you can to help them, then you're not doing God's work. Government is not God's work.
No.
God specifically speaks of that. It's not. So don't rely on the government to give you a paycheck. Don't rely on the government to give you health care. Rely on yourself for one, and then your next one is God, and then your friends and your family. Because if everybody is God-driven, which is we've gotten away from that, we really have in this country, in this world, if everybody's God-driven, it doesn't even listen, like we said, Brandon, it doesn't even matter what religion you are. At the end of the day, ultimately, they kind of teach the same thing. We should all love each other and help each other, and that's it. We shouldn't have a government that demands us to do that, and that's a socialist type, and we're not. Listen, Jesus Christ, let's be 100% factual. He was not a socialist. A socialist makes you do something that you don't want to do. God encourages you to do something maybe you don't want to do, but he encourages you. Well, he motivates you.
It was a matter of him seeing the heart. It wasn't the requirement. He wanted to see the heart of the man and woman. So I think, and God aside, it doesn't take being a religious person to know where your heart is in helping your neighbor, and to think that you can pass on the feeling of or the need to help to the government. Come on, I think we're all smarter than that.
I hope.
I hope so. I would hope so. Maybe there's 80 million people that aren't. I don't know. Anyway, so we are going to wrap that up today. Thank you to our media partners, TH Boxing, Gulfstream Financial, and IF Enterprises. Thank you so much for the media support and for our supporters and followers and subscribers, wherever you might be following or listening or watching this. Thank you so much. YouTube is a great place. iHeartRadio is a great place. iTunes, Spotify.
Facebook,
Google Podcasts, Instagram. Find us, Weighing In with Travis Hartman. We are everywhere that we can possibly be. And if we're not somewhere, tell us and we'll get there.
We might change our name to ELE.
ELE.
It's possible.
I laughed at it initially, but it grew on me.
It's growing. The more we shove it down people's throat, it might grow on us. I'm just saying. ELE is a solid saying.
I think with that, we're going to wrap it up. On top of that, we didn't even talk about Anthony Joshua fighting this weekend. Weekend Trav will give a prediction video later this week, and hopefully we'll have some other stuff that we'll add to, maybe an interview, I don't know, we'll find out. So anyways, we're going to wrap this thing up for the week. Thank you so much for following along and listening and watching. That there is Travis Hartman.
That there is B-Money, Brandon Waters.
Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. God bless.